From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum, as part of Forum's ongoing series, Our Changing Communities, we'll discuss the migration of African Americans from Oakland, a phenomenon which has seen a decline of nearly 25% over the past decade, with a rate of children higher than that. Why are African Americans leaving Oakland? Where are they going, and what does it mean for Oakland's future? And is it only Oakland? Forum is next. Join us for the hour after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to the second hour of our Forum program. The first hour was all about flights into space and the like, and now we're talking about a different kind of flight. Black people are leaving Oakland. Oakland remains the largest African-American city in the state of California, except for Los Angeles, though there African-Americans represent only 9% of the population. But Oakland also has had an overall net loss of 33,000. That's nearly a quarter of its African-American residents in the past decade, which translates to having lost more of its black population than any California city except Santa Ana. For African-American children, the decline is even steeper. 42% fewer black children live in Oakland than a decade ago, and that's a decline in population of children second only to New Orleans following the devastating floods. In this Forum Hour, as part of Forum series on our changing communities and in conjunction with the new census data, we focus our attention on black flight from Oakland. Joining us in studio is Malo Houston. He's assistant professor of city and regional planning at UC Berkeley. Good morning.
Good morning.
And also Angela Glover-Blackwell, founder and chief executive of Policy Link, an Oakland-based nonprofit dedicated to advancing economic and social equity. Her books include Uncommon Common Ground, Race, and America's Future. And she, of course, was featured in our first-person series here in Forum. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Glad to have you. We also have Alan Fernandez-Smith with us in studio, president and CEO of Urban Habitat, Oakland-based nonprofit that focuses on regional issues affecting low-income communities and communities of color. And welcome, Alan Fernandez-Smith.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Glad to have you all here. Malo Houston, let's find out first from you. We'll go to the professor first here and find out who's leaving and why and where they're going.
Well, one quick thing. My last name's Hudson.
Hudson.
Yes, no problem. What's happening in Oakland is what's happening across the United States in major cities. Blacks are leaving for the suburbs. And you bring up a good question about who's leaving. Basically, if you look at some of the data, it appears to be middle-class professionals as well as working-class blacks who are leaving major metropolitan areas. So in the case of Oakland, you already mentioned this, but roughly 33,000 people have left over the last decade. And many of them are going to outlying areas such as Antioch, Brentwood, Oakley, and other suburban areas such as those. And also you have people moving south. So that trend is consistent across the United States, whether it be the Northeast, the Midwest, or even the West Coast. You have African-Americans moving to the south. And one thing I'll say that's quite interesting, if you look at the city of Chicago, you had roughly 180,000 blacks that left over the last decade.
Well, in Oakland specifically, you have in the West lots of whites moving in, West Oakland, and in East Oakland you have a lot more Latinos and Hispanics moving in. Yeah,
That's correct. And so you have, as you've had blacks, roughly almost a quarter of blacks have left Oakland, you've had roughly about 8% of Asians and whites who have moved in over the last decade, and Latinos, over 13%, have moved in. But what's significant about the black population is the loss of children. And so that's something that is certainly going to have some impact on future generations in the city of Oakland. But they're not, the black population is not growing as fast or even having in-migration as other ethnic and racial groups.
And Oakland has always been so identified as a strong hub, center, matrix of African-American identity and culture and so forth. And now the politics are changing with all of this. It's really transforming Oakland, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. This is a concern for many people. As if you look at a city that's been historically black, such as Oakland or Washington, D.C. or Chicago, it brings up a whole bunch of issues. What happens to the cultural institutions? What happens to the social network that people have had, the community fabric in a particular neighborhood, a particular community in the city? So there's a great concern for many people. What does this mean politically or economically as cities continue to be the economic generators for regions?
And Alan Fernandez-Smith, let's get to some of the reasons why. A lot of it has to do with affordable housing.
Yeah, definitely.
For us, what we've been seeing is that housing was a big pull factor for people to leave Oakland. Affordable housing is one of those indicators for us that is important for our low-income communities and communities of color. And so, what?
Excuse me, is Mayor Kwan right when she says it's the biggest reason?
She's got a point there. For us, that's one of the major issues that we work on. But there are some other issues, though, that fit into why folks leave Oakland and move to other places. I mean, they look at the schools and education, community, policing, social networks. All of those things actually play into the reason that folks would migrate out. But for us, affordable housing is one of those key indicators, like the mayor has said. And looking at the regional impacts of that, Urban Habitat is looking at the reasons that people aren't just leaving, but then where do they land and how does that affect our region? So as Malo was saying, folks are going to Antioch, Stockton, Vallejo, Fairfield, and that's having an impact on those more suburban communities there as well.
Well, you mentioned Antioch, for example. Under the Section 8 federal housing voucher, there are a lot of African-Americans moving into Antioch, mm-hmm. and changing the whole nature of that city.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what we're finding all throughout the entire Bay region. And that's why it becomes important for us to look at how cities and other areas are making their general plans for their cities to make sure that affordable housing gets elevated to a point that it's an important policy discussion, as well as transportation, looking at infrastructure, looking at the operation of transportation and jobs. And so all those things is what we're seeing as connecting to why folks are leaving Oakland.
And crime?
Crime is up there, too. One of the things about Oakland, unfortunately, is that we've seen public safety is such a huge indicator of why people would leave. And also, it lays over the city a lot. We have a lot of conversations about policing strategies and community policing. And crime is one of those things that families think about. Everyone wants their families to be safe and to be in a safe place. And sometimes, unfortunately, it doesn't happen in many of our Oakland neighborhoods.
And Angela Glover-Blackwell, as we've been saying, this seems to be happening in most big metropolitan areas throughout the United States, Oakland more so. There's kind of a reverse migration, too, isn't there? I mean, I just wanted to get this on the record because Isabel Wilkerson was on the program talking about the black migration from the south-north. We're seeing blacks leaving the north and going south again.
We absolutely are, and it is so interesting that it's happening just at the time that everyone's talking about Isabel Wilkerson's wonderful book. We are seeing the most migration from cities to the south of African Americans that we have seen ever. This reverse migration represents a bunch of things, and it's also happening here in Oakland. Black people have had a tough time in this country. And they've had a particularly tough time during this downturn in the economy. And many African-American families, particularly those with a few resources, a house that they could get something out of, the skills that allow them to have some mobility, have just said, enough. We have tried in Chicago, we've tried in Detroit, we've tried in New York and St. Louis and all these other places, and we're not seeing the kind of progress that we ought to have by now. And they're seeing real opportunities in the South. They have relatives and friends who've made that move who say, come on down. And people are taking it very seriously. And it's exactly the things that we've been talking about that are pushing people out of these cities. Crime, failing schools, housing markets that really don't fit their needs. And the political clout that they have had has not translated into real advantage. And so this is an amazing thing that's happening in the nation, likely to have political ramifications that we don't fully understand. What will it mean when black people get more of a political stronghold in the South? If they don't lose what they've had in other cities, we could begin to see something very exciting happen across this nation. But one point I want to make sure that we focus on is that there's something wrong when people who have education and jobs and have played by the rules have to move to be able to have good schools for their children, decent neighborhoods for themselves. The nation needs to focus on that.
And it has to focus, I think, as you've pointed out also, on, well, what's a changing middle class politically, economically?
Yes. And for this nation, it doesn't really embrace this. Black people have been the canary in the mine. that if the nation had focused on the fact that black people were losing their homes early on, we could have gotten in front of the foreclosure crisis. But nobody cared about that. If we had been alarmed when the African-American unemployment rate hit 10%, we might have gotten in front of the economic crisis. And now we see cities losing their black middle class. I think San Francisco is a good example to say, first the black middle class, then the middle class. And if cities understand that you need a middle class to have a vibrant city and metropolitan area, we should be concerned about the black middle class leaving cities, because the white middle class and other middle class people will soon follow when the cities become not livable, not affordable, and not providing the supports that families need.
And again, Angela Glover-Blackwell is founder and chief executive officer of Policy Link. Margaret Gordon is Oakland Port Commissioner. She's also co-director of West Oakland Environmental Indicators Project, a longtime West Oakland resident, and she joins us online here. Margaret Gordon, good to have you with us. Good morning to you.
And hello, Angela.
Hi, Margaret.
How you doing?
Fine.
They didn't understand that we're going to have some real truth tellers on the telephone this morning, huh?
Well, maybe you can enlighten us with some truth as well. What do you think is responsible for this migration we're seeing out of Oakland?
I'm a native of the Bay Area. I was born in Richmond, California. I was raised in Bayview, Hunters Point, San Francisco. My father has always had a job. He was able to acquire a home in 1953. And when we acquired a home in the Ingleside area, not too far from San Francisco State College, right near the Daly City BART station, we had a white flight. Okay, so that was in the 50s. And then also with the integration starting within the schools and homes and, you know, civil rights laws, there was a sense of a prosperity for the black community. But then come the 70s with the end of the industrial complex of manufacturing and the unions, the local unions moving out to the suburbs. You know, those jobs that African Americans had left too. My father worked for the shipyard. He always had some form of a civil service job, but that was only jobs that were left in San Francisco for years.
Yeah, but you're seeing a lot of people leaving now. Why do you think that's the case?
Well, right now, there's a couple things. From my experience being in West Oakland, it's lack of jobs, affordable housing, not necessarily all the crime, and the lack of education and resources. All right? It's been a very combination of complex issues of disparity that nobody really addressed. And especially, we need to ask the question, what has happened to the white progressives in any of this? Where's their understanding and support and sponsorship of seeing this white flight? Where are those white abolitionists that was part of, you know, the Civil War that was really after supporting African Americans having freedom? So this migration of African Americans from inner city has been an ongoing movement for the last 30, maybe 40 years now.
Let me go back to Alan Fernandez Smith on that point. I mean, there's been a lot of gentrification in Oakland, mm-hmm. and it's been kind of a success of integration. But the white citizens of Oakland as involved in progressive ways as, say, someone like former Mayor Jerry Brown would have liked them to have been, or for that matter, Mayor Gene Quine would like them to be?
That's actually a really good question. I haven't I was appreciating Ms. Gordon speaking, because I hadn't thought much about the role that white progressives need to play in this movement. I think that there's definitely a role there. Part of what's starting to happen now with gentrification is also just displacement. We talked a bit here about the pull factors that pull people out of Oakland and into the suburbs and the South. But there's also these push factors of that displacement and of gentrification, knowing that now you may not be able to return back to your community. Those social fabrics that you had growing up in generations and history may not be there any longer because you just can't afford it, or it doesn't feel like it's the place for you any longer. And I know with a lot of Black folks in Oakland and San Francisco, in thinking about those core regions of the Bay Area, it may not necessarily feel like a place where you can thrive and a place that really embraces you as a Black family here.
Well, and Malo Hudson, there was supposed to be a renaissance in Oakland. I mean, that was at least kind of what was being bandied about and heralded as major changes. Are we seeing the decline of that now, or the kind of leveling of it? What do you think?
Well, I think it's a complicated story. On one level, you have many people moving back to cities. So you've in the state of California, we've seen the increase in the Latino population, as well as Asians and whites now moving into some major cities. Whites, for the most part, have been stable across most. Their population has been stable across most of the cities. But so you do see a renaissance in that level. For Blacks, it's been a different story. Some Blacks, even in poor areas, have decided to move because of what Angela was discussing earlier about the lack of good performing schools, affordable, you know, good quality housing, and they've moved to the suburbs in search of that. And so you have two things happening. You have an out-migration of Blacks in the Bay Area and certainly across a lot of other the major cities across the United States, but you also have an increase of other ethnic groups into major metropolitan cities. So you have this complicated story that's going on. And what we really need to understand is, why are people moving? Where are they moving? So if you're moving, say, from a tough inner city area to a suburban community, are you moving into an older type of suburb, or are you moving into one that is prosperous? And so, and are you getting more opportunities for good quality schools and better housing? And so I think we have to do more studies to really figure out, where are people migrating to, and what impact is it having on their lives in terms of economic opportunity, in terms of quality of housing, in terms of their social networks, as well, and also their health outcomes.
Well, what's your sense, just maybe from your gut, about why so many Hispanics and Asians are moving into Oakland?
I think cities are places of opportunity. I mean, I'm a professor of city planning. I study community development. And if you look at the major jobs that are being created, it's really has many of them require high levels of education or skills. Some of the jobs that used to be there, sort of, whether it be at Oakland Army Base or around other Army bases or ports, some of those jobs have changed in nature. And so it really depends on what part of the city you're looking at. In the Bay Area, it's home to innovation. We have Silicon Valley just south of us, and that drove up lots of prices for homes and cost of living. And you have an influx of educated people. So when I look at my students at Berkeley and I survey them and ask them, where do you want to head when you graduate? Many of them want to go to the Bostons, the San Franciscos, the Los Angeles, the Seattles, those types of places. And you know, it's tough in terms of affordability, but there's also a lot of opportunity. And I think when you think about why people may come to cities, it has a lot to do with their social networks, opportunities, and so forth.
Yeah, you mentioned Berkeley. There's even a large, of course, depleting of the Black population out of Berkeley now, as there is, we're talking about in so many areas. Angela Glover-Back, are we seeing wealthy in cities and poor in the outskirts? Is that kind of how things are divided now?
I worry so much about that. And we must, as a nation, as a state, as a region here in the Bay Area, take seriously the threat of becoming like so many European cities. Paris is the one that often comes to my mind, where you have a precious, thriving city core that is where the tourists come, where the people of wealth live. And then you have the poor people. In Paris, it's often the African immigrants living all in the outskirts, unseen, and not having any access to opportunity. It is not a sustainable model. Now, I want to go to the good side of what's happening here. Oakland, even though it is losing a significant portion of its Black population, 26% of the population is white, 27% of the population is Black, 25% is Latino, 17% is Asian. This is still probably the most integrated city in the nation. Oakland still has an opportunity to be able to show how you make that work for everybody. And we need to get on it right away. I also want the listeners to think about this, that Black people have been treated very badly. They have been forced into neighborhoods with terrible schools. And black parents want what all parents want for their children, the very best. Black families have given cities a chance. They have given integration a chance. And yet, they're still in failing schools at numbers that are appalling. That just at the moment when neighborhoods are starting to come back, when they start to gentrify, the first conversation the neighbors start to have is how to get these young people, often black youth, off the corner, how to be able to get more police presence. Families and young people feel that. People feel disrespected. And so let's stop it. Let's take this as a warning signal that African Americans are saying we haven't had opportunity, we haven't been treated well, we haven't been able to move up, even as we have seen others moving up in areas that we have built, that we've built them culturally, we've been doing the work. So Oakland has a chance. It's not too late. Let Oakland be the model for how we really have a fully inclusive democratic society in which all can participate and prosper.
Let me just for the moment go back to you, Margaret Gordon, if I may. How much sort of dovetailing on what we've just heard from Angela Glover Blackwell, how much of this has to do with injustice, historical or otherwise, and how much of it has to do just with economics?
Okay, well, I can give you three examples of all three of those things. One, in 1996, when welfare reform hit, all those homeowners who was housing people with subsidized funding had paid off their mortgages and no longer took the HUD subsidies for these families. That's one.
I thought you were going to mention redevelopment first of all in the film.
No, not necessarily. Redevelopment came after. Then also you have the issues what happened when a city like Antioch took on HUD housing. HUD took on HUD housing, and people moved out there. And what had happened with the police department, and people calling the police on black families just for having the radio on up too loud. And I do know of incidences here in Oakland that white neighbors call the police on the church, the little small neighborhood community church, for making their joyful noises, music on a Sunday. So it's been. So those are like some of the incidents that have happened within my experience of being in West Oakland and working here, that we have people who come in have a very clueless, very, very clueless about the norms and how people, the community fabric, they have no idea. And they just want to protect their property and their, you know, their quality of life and their, you know, that peace of mind, not understanding that what are you doing is part of a whole community, not just for your individual needs.
Margaret Gordon, thank you so much for joining us. We're coming up on a break. I'm going to say goodbye to you. Margaret Gordon, again, Oakland Port Commissioner and co-director of the West Oakland Environmental Indicators Project, longtime West Oakland resident. We're going to continue with our three in-studio guests and your phone calls. In fact, we invite them if you... Well, if you've left Oakland and you're African-American, you may want to join us and tell us why. In fact, we'd certainly like to hear from you. But if you have some observations about perhaps why people are, people of color, specifically African-Americans, are leaving Oakland, let us hear from you. If you have experiences like we've been talking about in terms of living in a city where you see African-Americans moving in, you may want to join the conversation too. Many stories out there, and we'd like to hear from some of you what your stories are. Our toll-free number is available, and please feel free to call us. It's 866-733-6786. We do welcome your phone calls. Again, 866-733-6786. You can also send an email to forum at kqed.org or post a question or comment on our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. With us in studio, Angela Glover Blackwell, founder and chief executive officer of PolicyLink, Alan Fernandez-Smith, president and CEO of Urban Habitat, and Malo Hudson, who is professor, assistant professor of city and regional planning at UC Berkeley. This is Forum. Stay tuned. We'll hear from you next. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. The black population of Oakland has declined nearly 25% in the past decade, and for children, the rate is even higher. There are 42% fewer African-American children in Oakland than there were 10 years ago, and the decline of African-Americans in cities is a national trend. As part of our Changing Communities series on the results of the 2010 census, we're having a close look at Oakland this hour. Why are African-Americans leaving, and what does it mean for the city? And you may indeed want to weigh in here with a personal story, if you have it, or your own observations. We do welcome your calls. Most of the lines are occupied, but feel free to join us anytime during the program at our toll-free number 866-733-6786, or email us, forum@kqed.org, or post a question or comment on our website. And there's always ongoing conversation on the website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. Our guests are Malo Hudson, who is Assistant Professor of City and Regional Planning at UC Berkeley, Angela Glover-Blackwell, Founder and Chief Executive Officer of Policy Link, which is an Oakland-based nonprofit dedicated to advancing economic and social equity, and let's mention her book again, Uncommon Common Ground, Race and America's Future. Alan Fernandez-Smith, also with us in studio, President and CEO of Urban Habitat, an Oakland-based nonprofit that focuses on regional issues that affect low-income communities and communities of color. And we also had Margaret Gordon on with us during the first segment of the program, Oakland Port Commissioner and co-director of the West Oakland Environmental Indicators Project and longtime West Oakland resident. Let's go to our callers, and we begin with, a Sacramento caller, Rezan. Is it Rezan or Rezan?
Hi. Yeah, it's Rezan.
Rezan, welcome.
Hi, thank you. I just caught the end of the last segment, and I'm from Oakland, actually, born and raised, and I grew up in Montclair. So when I go down to the town and I meet people, they say, where you're from, they don't recognize it, and they just can't reconcile that I'm from the same place as them, that I am from Oakland. And recently I've been driving through West Oakland, and I think it's the most beautiful part of Oakland that I never got to visit growing up because I just knew it at the bottoms, and it just isn't safe to go there. And I see these white young adults riding their bicycles late at night sometimes, and at first I thought, okay, this is supposed to be a crazy person, but now I see them more and more and realize that they're moving into these old broken-down factories or they have these startup, maybe they're startup businesses or communes, or they're turning it into something really beautiful. And
the resident, you're African American.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
My family is from Ethiopia.
Yeah. No, I just wondered.
I wonder if with all this, I mean, it just seems like such great ideas that are beginning to form in West Oakland to these white young adults, and I wonder if there's any connection or bridge, or if they're even aware of the black people in West Oakland that are there. You know, I mean, it just seems like a different world. Like during the daytime, there's like a killing every day by mid-afternoon, and I see all the black people out surrounded by the police. And then at night, I might see a broken-down warehouse with broken windows, but there might be one where that's lit up in candlelight and art is on the walls, and they're having a dinner party.
Angela Glover-Blackwell, we're back to the color race divide.
It's interesting. There's not a murder every day in West Oakland. It never has been that bad. There have been periods in which West Oakland, very neglected, suffered extreme disinvestment. Families did not have what they needed. Young people had nothing to do. Drugs were allowed to just run rampant in the neighborhood, and it became a place that was not necessarily desirable for the people who were living there to live. I think that many of the people, white and sometimes African-American and other professionals and artists who are moving into places like West Oakland, are good people who see the beauty in urban life, see the beauty in our older communities, and they're moving in not for the purpose of moving people out. They're moving in hoping that they can live a different life, perhaps, than the one they grew up in. What happens, however, is that we don't have the investments that allow the people who are there to continue to thrive as things move forward. Because the people who are moving in are often moving in without children. You're not seeing people coming in and bringing their children and getting involved in the schools. And so you begin to have investments that make it nice for single adults to be able to have a good life. But you're not investing cities, the nation, not investing in ways that allow the people who are there with families and elderly people to have a good life. So that even though communities start to come back and you see investments, they aren't investments in the people who have been there during the bad times that will allow them to stay and enjoy the good times.
You know, we did a whole program on San Francisco not being a family-friendly
city.
You're saying
that
about
point.
Oakland.
That's the point. The parts of Oakland that are gentrifying are not coming back in ways that are family-friendly. Thank you for summarizing it that way.
And let me thank the caller and move on to more of your calls. We'll go to an Oakland caller. Justin, good morning. You're on.
Morning, and thank you for having me on. I'm a youth in Oakland. I consider youth. I'm 20 years old. And I've noticed that myself and a lot of my friends have kind of had to take on the kind of our household. A lot of our income, in a sense, is the breadwinner in our houses. And I think a lot of us have, in a sense, have kind of looked outside of the city because we are looking for more resources. And with a lot of the tough economic times, we're not stupid. And we see a lot of, you know, our nonprofits and city resources overwhelmed, and we're seeking other places.
Probably a voice, we can assume, Alan Fernandez-Smith, that is like many of the younger people.
Yeah, that's definitely something that's happening. Thank you for that call. And as Angela was saying, it's difficult to live in the cities, especially during this economic downturn. And folks need to look to see if they're taking care of their families the way that they need to. And unfortunately, Oakland has had a hard time holding that space for families, and folks have to look outwards. But as they look outwards, I will tell you that it doesn't mean that where folks are landing is also the best place for African-American families. It doesn't mean necessarily that all the resources that that folks think are in the suburbs are there. Transportation may not be what you think it's going to be. It may not have the infrastructure that we may not have the affordable housing that it takes for folks to actually move out and live in these suburbs. And so that becomes one of the next levels of what we need to start to analyze is as folks are moving out, are they really moving to places that can support the life that you are seeking for you and your family?
Plus, Smollo Hudson, there's a lot more tension in the suburbs now, isn't there? I mean, this has caused a good deal of greater tension.
Well, I think that people are always afraid of change. And so if new people move in, then you have some tension there. But I think a bigger issue, Michael, is if you think about residents who migrated out of the South in the 1940s and 50s to places like Oakland, Chicago, and New York, they bought homes, they raised families, and then they saw their neighborhoods decline. So you had the white flight and push and pull factors that had whites leave to the suburbs during the 1960s and 70s, and then, of course, the economic restructuring that we've all seen. But you have people who then, once the housing bubble was at its height, sold their homes. So you had people in certain parts of Oakland that were desirable that sold their homes or Bayview, Hunters Point, or other parts of the city, and then purchased homes out in places like Antioch or other outlying suburban areas. And then we had the housing bust. And so you had people take their nest egg, or what they thought would be their nest egg, and bought homes in search of the better life. So in the places like Antioch, better schools, affordable housing, and now you have the housing bubble that has popped, and now people are underwater, and you have gas prices going up above $4, you know, across the United States, and who knows how high that's going to go. And that brings up a whole bunch of issues that Alan just talked about in terms of infrastructure.
Yeah, so, I also mentioned the Section 8 recipients who are moving out also as a result of the whole meltdown and the mortgage crisis and so forth, and it's changing the nature of all these many outlying cities. Here's a listener who says, Antoine, I'm an African-American. I just think that it is really tough to be a professional as an African-American in Oakland. I grew up there but would never live there again. There are those who are doing it, but southern cities are opening more doors for us. Oakland is really expensive. Public schools are not good across the board, and the police are not the best. I live in Dublin, and I work in Oakland. And we've got Chuck on the line with us who moved out of Oakland to – an African-American who moved out of Oakland to Alameda. Chuck, good to have you. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Tell us why you left Oakland and how you find Alameda different or better or worse.
I left Oakland originally because the loft that I was renting was a really great community. The building was sold, and there was an attempt to turn the units into condos. And that happened just past the height of the market, so the prices that they were asking were already too high, and it was pretty clear to the residents that the prices were just going to come down and it wasn't a good deal. So I moved from there to Berkeley, And then the rents got high in Berkeley after a couple years and wound up in Alameda.
And you've been in Alameda how long?
2 years.
And you find it better? More comfortable? What?
Very much more comfortable. I have 3 kids, all teenagers right now, and the overall feeling of safety is really satisfying. It's a place where they can walk, they can ride their bikes. There are parks, it seems like, every few blocks, so there's a place to go to play basketball or a place to have a barbecue, and there's just a lot of that.
But the original issue was housing, and now you feel safer, and that's become a major factor. Yeah.
That's exactly right. I wasn't aware of how unsafe I was feeling, and you know, when people say unsafe, a lot of times they're talking about violence and crime and all of that. But the biggest difference that I've noticed is the traffic. Alameda is a slower city, and the traffic limit is less, and there's just it seems like it's a safer place to cross the street and a safer place for a kid to be on a bicycle and a safer place to move around. And a lot of that is, to me, is just because it doesn't have the car zooming by that you have to kind of watch out for and hope you don't get run over.
Hmm. Chuck, glad to have your perspective. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on Forum.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm looking at some more of your emails here. Here's a listener who says, well, I'm a middle-class black man, and I left Oakland for San Leandro because it was simply more affordable and the schools were better. I have to say that more than anything. I think the thing holding black people back right now is the negative attitude of black people who come from a lower-class upbringing. People do very little to hold each other up because they don't want anyone else to be better than them, and they are afraid of being seen as the person who is better than everyone else. We need to address that issue internally before we look at anything else. Angela Glover Blackwell.
I'm glad the caller mentioned that because I wanted to come back to the reference that you made about Section 8 in Antioch. For listeners who might not know, Section 8 is a voucher you get from the government that allows you, if you're low income, to be able to go to an area and use that voucher to find housing. There are some places like Antioch that have a lot of apartments where people can use them. And this notion that people who are poor and using Section 8 change the quality of the neighborhood is one that I think needs to be addressed. We have been a nation always in which, up until recently, people who were poor and people who were middle class lived together. And part of that living together, I grew up in that kind of neighborhood in St. Louis, Missouri. The black poor, the black middle class all lived together because I was segregated at that time. And the interaction of people who were middle class and educated with people who had less education helped those who had less education, less opportunity to be able to see what it was to have a better life. The way that we are segregating people and people who are lower income have almost no day-to-day contact with people who are higher income and have different experiences leaves those people vulnerable and not having access to the things that they need to thrive. And so if we are finding that the concentration of poor people is creating a problem, we ought to be thinking about creating ways to have mixed income housing, to have people live together, and to create natural communities that allow everybody to be able to have that kind of natural interaction. This notion that somehow poor black children don't want to do well in school and don't want to improve their lives is just a false notion. Children want to be able to grow up and do well, but if they don't see how to get there, if they don't see the path, if they're isolated in every way, it's just not likely to happen.
And again, Angela Glover Blackwell is founder and chief executive officer of Policy Link. Here's a listener from Oakland who says, I bristle at the term gentrification if one looks at old historical photographs. Oakland used to be a normal American city with parades on Broadway, streetcars on Telegraph Avenue, a bustling, busy downtown, and quiet, tree-lined residential streets. It wasn't always miles and miles of murderous ghetto land. A better term is a return to normalcy. Anybody want to respond to that kind of sentiment? Okay, we'll let it stand. Here's somebody, Bruce says, I live in West Oakland and I see a lot of bad behavior, throwing trash out of car windows, mothers cussing at their young children, loud music late at night, not to mention hearing gunfire on a fairly regular basis. I would have much more respect for my diverse neighbors if they exhibited more civilized behavior. If you're going to trash and shoot up the neighborhood, I say good riddance. On the other hand, I do have respectful neighbors, and I appreciate that. I see it more as a class issue than a race issue. It does not help that Oakland has few jobs and poor education. Yeah.
You know, what I'm starting to hear in those last two comments is definitely the manifestation of racism in this country.
This, by the way, is Alan Fernandez Smith. Yeah.
Yes. And it actually is – it's painful to hear that, right? Because it starts to become that is the vision of what many folks here in the Bay Area see for black people and many folks around the country. And that was something actually that manifests itself in a policy way as well. We were working on an issue in Pleasanton around affordable housing a few years ago, and that was one of the barriers to the city actually putting in true affordable housing to the levels that they were supposed to through the federal government. And the reasons were many of these racist sentiments that were being said now. And so from a race class understanding, I think that we need to push the dialogue around racism in the Bay Area, and that this is not merely just a policy question or a political movement, but it also has a lot to do with the undergirding of race and racism in the Bay Area.
And we'll take more of our callers. And Pat, thanks for waiting. Join us. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm in strong disagreement with this statement that these people who cited the fact that they don't want to live next to people who behave badly are racist. You know, I'm black, and, you know, I've lived in poor black neighborhoods and in middle-class black neighborhoods and in neighborhoods where I was the only white person, where I was the only black person for miles. And I know for certain, I have a neighbor as an example, that there are some black people who are young who just simply do not want to do the things that it takes to be successful and who have had the opportunities and have even had fine examples within their own families. Forget the fact that, you know, they live next door to my wife and I, who are both lawyers and also had technical experience. Mm-hmm. So we've always worked in pretty much well-paying jobs all our lives. Although we started off like everybody else, working for a dollar an hour. So, you know, that's a real problem. And it's something that, you know, we really need to address before you can demand that people accept more inclusion of people who aren't really shouldering their own weight. And that's a big problem.
And you are still living in Oakland, is that right, Pat?
Yeah, I am. Excuse me, I kind of ran to get to the phone. But, yeah, I still live in Oakland. I've, you know, had a lot of issues with crime. And I know firsthand experience that there are some people who just will not do right. And, you know, unfortunately, they all look the same to outsiders. But I can understand why they, you know, at some point you have to exhibit some prejudice, because you can't go into every experience, every situation thinking that, oh, I'm just give everybody a fair chance, like I don't know what the history is. And doing that is dangerous in Oakland. You know, you really do have to have some pre-thought before you take on any new experiences, because some of these things can kill you.
Let me get a response from you, Angela Glover Blackwell.
There certainly are some people who just don't want to do right. Many of them are white, you know, but it's just the human nature. You have some people who are problems. I appreciate this caller. I can feel the sincerity in this caller's voice. I, too, live in Oakland, and I know that we won't fix the problems if we don't understand the nature of the problems. I'm not suggesting that everybody in Oakland is a person absolutely dedicated to doing the right thing, and that this notion of crime and danger are non-existent. They exist. They exist because we are not investing in young people. We're not investing in young people of color with good schools, with recreational activities, with access to mentors, with a sense of a path that can lead to a better life and a way to get on that path and go forward. The caller, like everybody who pays attention, you have to live your life in a way that you're taking care of yourself and you're taking care of your family. And I don't suggest to anybody that they put themselves in harm's way or they make a bad decision. But what I want for everybody is to understand the policy decisions that we have made as a nation, the way that we have disinvested in people of color, and we are reaping the outcome of that lack of investment. We are rapidly becoming a nation in which the majority of people will be people of color. We will be there there by 2040. And that is going to be the whole country. If we continue to have these disparities, if we continue not to invest in children who are Latino, who are Hmong, who are African American, and we allow the majority of the children to be not ready, we're going to suffer as a nation. It's time that we understood how we got here and developed policies and strategies to get out.
Let me thank the caller and go again to Professor Hudson here, dovetailing again off Angela Glover Blackwell's comments. When you're looking at city planning and you're looking at policies for the future, of course, you're looking at revenue. And we just did a program, for example, on the memo that went out by the Department of Justice office try to clarify the marijuana issue, because in Oakland they were trying to raise more revenue, Mayor Kwan and others, by building more facilities that would have cannabis. The kind of things that Angela's talking about are going to cost, and yet what we keep hearing about is cutbacks, slicing programs, and if you're going to have investments, you got to have revenue.
That's right. It's a challenging time for cities, but let's not forget that cities traditionally have been hubs of innovation, hubs of culture, hubs of art, places where people have been able to exchange ideas and raise families. And I think what Angela and my colleague Alan Fernandez-Smith is saying today is that many people have lost out on that, the American dream that we've thought about of being able to raise families, be able to go to good schools. And if you look at the disinvestment in many of our cities, so the West Oaklands of the world and certainly parts of Bayview, Hunters Point, and now that cities are becoming important again, the land values are rising in those cities and people want to live there. But at the end of the day, we have to think about who's been left there and have been neglected. And so if we're going to think about cities being these hubs of innovation, being economic generators for the region, we have to address the issues of poverty. We have to address the issues of inequality in education. Let's not forget education. If you look at our urban educational school systems across the United States, this is not an Oakland problem. This is not a Los Angeles problem. This is a United States of America problem. And if we're thinking about competing for the future, we've got to educate our children.
I remember when our present governor was mayor of Oakland and he kept saying, there's just so much I can do about schools in Oakland. Right. I mean, it became a much more systemic problem, a larger problem than Oakland, obviously. It's the American problem of education, isn't it? Let me bring some more of our callers on in the meantime. And thanks for waiting, Melanie from Oakland. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Melanie Trevelyan, and I live in Oakland and have for over 35 years, and I am a physician. I am calling to say thank you so very much for each of the callers remembering that Oakland is now an exceptional mix of people of color, and in particular, Angela, for your noting the percentages of the different racial groups that are in Oakland. I'd ask you panelists to please turn your attention for a moment and talk to the fact that there are an especially large number of young activists who are people of color who are changing the conversation around racism, are changing the organizing practices, and in particular noting that black youth are often thrown away, ostracized, or deeply disrespected. And they are, for example, figuring out what needs to happen as young people around housing, schools, job, food, so that we can all live in an inclusive way in the city of Oakland. So, for example, Oakland Rising, of which I understand Urban Habitat is a part, is really focusing on this work. Would you all please talk about that?
Now, let me go to Alan Fernandez-Smith.
Melanie, thank you so much for having us focus on those strong parts of Oakland and the work that's being done. Yes, you're right that folks are actually mobilizing young people. There seems to be this overwhelming feeling of young people don't want to do, or they don't see the path to be able to do what's right for Oakland. But alas, there are many folks that are doing that, and groups like Oakland Rising and others that you were talking about are looking at building leadership and power within these young folks to reframe that debate and to think about this conversation differently and think about where those leadership moments are. One of the things also that I know has been moving is thinking about placing folks on different boards and commissions that make decisions on these policy issues and looking at ensuring that our communities are not disproportionately negatively impacted by those policies. So yes, thank you for bringing that up, because that is a wonderful piece of our social fabric and tapestry in Oakland that we do need to invest in and make sure that those voices continue to be lifted up and heard.
And thank you for the call, Melanie. And here's a listener who writes, I teach high school math in Sacramento and had a fascinating experience last semester when I asked my students where they were from. Nearly all of my African-American students immediately piped up with the Bay. Upon further questioning, I learned that the Bay primarily meant Oakland. Looks to me that Sacramento is definitely one of the places receiving African-American people migrating out of the Bay Area. Indeed, that is true. There's another listener, Bob, who says, is this really a racial issue, which I question? I'd like to know the racial breakdown of everyone who's leaving Oakland. It is the crime tax that is driving people out, the extra cost and stress of crime, which every citizen pays. The beauty of Oakland tends to evaporate when someone puts a gun to your head and robs you. I believe the failure of the city of Oakland and the Kwan administration in particular to take public safety seriously is the primary reason that anyone with any sense in any socioeconomic class is leaving Oakland. Despite a special tax to pay for more officers, which has generated $121 million since 2004, we have gone from 777 sworn officers to 638 today, and that number is falling fast. Does anyone want to live in a city where burglaries and other property crimes are not even investigated or reported? Alan Fernandez-Smith, go back to you on that, because you were talking about public safety before.
Yeah. I'm pausing to gather my thoughts because these are real issues, and these are really sincere folks that are writing in. And it's true that that public safety is an issue, and it is true that we have to think about the safety of ourselves and our families. But there are many people that are willing to invest in the right policies and the right ways for us to look at safety through community policing and look at different investments of bringing neighborhood watches and neighborhood community work together so that we can make sure that we are keeping families in Oakland. I know that this is also something that Angela was talking about when she was thinking that not everyone is going to do right, but there are many folks that do want to make sure that they're making Oakland a safe place to live.
Well, let me also go to the substance of the question here. Do you think, Malo Hudson, what the caller is saying about this, maybe this isn't so racial as we think it is or as we've been saying it is? Maybe it's just all across the board.
Well, I think there's still the racial component, but I do think that if cities are going to be successful, they have to figure out a way to support the middle class. And if you look at our current economy, the middle class is really suffering. And if we're thinking about raising taxes and having the revenue to support our schools, support our police and other people who make the cities run smoothly, then we have to be able to create an environment where the middle class can raise a family and live and support themselves. And I think that that's the big issue here that we have to talk about, is if we really are, especially for a city like Oakland, if we really want to bring in the middle class to grow the tax base, then we have to address these other issues like crime, schools, our crumbling infrastructure.
We've got seconds left. Angela Glover-Blackwell, final word for
you. I just wanted to point out that it is racial in this sense that all other groups are moving in. There was an increase in white, Latino, Asian from 2000 to 2010, and there was a 33% decrease, 24% decrease in African Americans. So it is racial in that sense. For African Americans, it is not as an attractive a place to be as it is for others.
Thank you all for a very informative hour. Angela Glover-Blackwell, again, founder and chief executive officer of Policy Link. Malo Hudson is assistant professor of city and regional planning at UC Berkeley, and Alan Fernandez-Smith is president and CEO of Urban Habitat. And thank you also, Margaret Gordon, Oakland Port Commissioner. Thank you, our listeners. We wouldn't be here without you. For all of us here at KQED Public Radio, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.